And it's that time again.
I like how we both looked at each other like, who's saying it
who's
first?
Starting? I like to start.
I know. You like to say howdy doody.
Do I say howdy doody?
Nope. Never think you did.
Oh, maybe I could. I say howdy to people like
well,
at work.
Howdy doody, folks.
Howdy doody, folks.
Hopefully you guys have been having a wonderful week.
Or not.
Or not. We just hope it's not terrible.
Yeah. Except if it's terrible and you're listening to this on Friday, then it's a great Friday.
Yeah.
So you're welcome.
So you're welcome for the 1 out of 7 days you get to enjoy yourself.
And for those of you using just us to keep yourself entertained on your vacations, thanks a lot.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Hope you have a good vacation.
Oh, so actually we got some weird news today, huh?
We did.
Yeah.
Is it the Apple news that we're talking about here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Typical Apple. Yeah. In Apple fashion, we cannot have episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, any of that in your title of your podcast anymore, or they will reject you for not following Apple's code of conduct.
Which is basically kind of bullshit.
Yeah, we should be able to title our episodes whatever we want, as this is my episode, Apple.
Yeah, this is our podcast.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, but you're using our platform.
And I suggested just removing it from Apple, and I suggested all podcasters just remove all of your podcasts from Apple.
See, like, I think if Joe Rogan was on board, WTF was on board, you know, the big podcasts,
people.
Because they put episode titles in their name.
Right. So, here's a shout. Nobody important is going to be listening to this, let's be honest.
Yeah,
but
no, really.
Let's stand against Apple and everyone take their podcasts off of Apple. They'll do the
big ones first, then we'll follow.
Yeah, well, no, I'll lead. I'm fine leading as long as people are balls up and following.
Listen, if I get a message from someone who runs a very big podcast saying they're removing themselves, I'll agree to the removal.
Right. Most of our listens don't come from Apple anyway.
Yeah, but
they don't, according to Podbean.
At the same time, though, 60% of the market share is a big share.
Right, and they're going to lose it because they're dumbasses.
Yeah.
But here's Apple's idea on it, and it's been Apple's idea on it forever. They don't care because you know why? People will still do their shit because people are going to stick with Apple for whatever stupid-ass reason. Sheeple, I call them.
Yep.
People, the ones with the iPhones.
Well, Apple started off the podcast scene real early, so a lot of people who listened to it adapted early into the actual podcasting on listening to them on the actual iTunes store. That's the problem. I think they're really far behind when it comes to like metadata and overall search mechanics and search engine optimization. That, I mean, Spotify, the brand new one on the block that started off with, they already almost own 10% of all of the traffic.
I just got emails about Podbean and Spotify going into cahoots to make our lives easier as podcasters.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fantastic. They're working with us, not against us.
Exactly. Not like that's what they should be doing. That's what Apple doesn't do, and it bothers me.
It does.
So it'd be kind of funny if we get rejected from Apple.
You may not be able to listen to us on Apple anymore if they review this episode.
If they review this episode and hear us trash talking them. I guess it is what it is. There's not a lot I can do about it.
No.
It's the truth. If you are listening and you reject this episode due to that fact.
Or the us in general.
Right. You lost my respect.
Yeah. Like, well, you've never had mine, so.
Well, right. Me neither, but you know what I mean.
I get it. Yes. I know.
Yeah. So that was the news we got today. So we're relatively upset about it because I honestly feel like we should be able to put episode numbers in our...
It's not Apple's podcast. This is mine and your podcast.
That's correct.
Yours and mine, I think, is the proper way of saying it.
I would even argue to say it's also our listeners' podcast.
Yeah.
But not Apple's.
Not Apple's.
No.
We're just here to bring people to you to listen to podcasts through you because people use you. So this is actually just a benefit for you.
This is just a sad unfortunacy that we have to use you.
Yeah, it is very sad. I asked when we first started.
I was just
going to
say, yeah. Even
let's
when we first,
not put on Apple.
You're like, I'm like, hey, I threw the idea. He was like, what, would you ever do a podcast? You're like, yeah, that sounds amazing. And then you're like, do we have to be on Apple? And I'm like, yeah.
And then I took a week to think about it.
But then you're on board. You're
then
like,
on
finally.
Board. Because I really enjoy it. We've had a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely enjoy it. So this episode actually is going to be about one of my favorite childhood games.
Which is fun.
The Legacy of Goku. So
for a little handheld guy.
Yeah, for a little handheld guy, which was convenient when I was younger.
No, and not that it isn't convenient now. I mean, you can almost fit it in a pocket of a JNCO's pants, maybe.
I don't know why you keep bringing up JNCO jeans. Those things suck.
Yeah, they don't suck. They're fantastic.
Yeah, team. you.
Yes, to me. And maybe about 50,000 other people. Not a lot of us.
No, there's a handful.
Maybe a couple million, actually, if you think about the population of the world. But
I wonder if it was an international success.
It probably was. I mean, if you look at it this way, right now, somewhere else, they're just coming into style for the first time around.
I'm sorry.
They're finally getting JNCOs. And they're like, oh, these are the best things ever. Woohoo! So
over in India or something.
Somewhere, yeah. I don't even know
a billion people buy JNCO jeans.
Some random tribe of cannibals in the Brazilian rainforest finally ate somebody with JNCOs.
And they're like, we have to wear these.
We love these because there's so much room. They can fit like 16 spears
so
in their pant leg.
There's so much room for activities.
Yeah. Like I can bring my snake and not my trouser snake, just a regular snake wrapped around my leg, cozy inside these pants.
It'd be like, you know, like the gangster thugs or whatever who hide knives in their boots or whatever have you.
He's got poisonous snakes.
He's got a poisonous snake in his leg and you'd never know.
Nope, it's just hiding in them JNCO pants.
And on that note, let's start the intro.
Yay for intro.
And we're back.
We're back.
After that short delay, I'm sorry you guys missed us.
Short. I had pancakes, fried some eggs, made some popcorn in a pan on your stove. Wasn't that short?
That's true. I mean, you are pretty good.
I'm fast.
In multiple aspects?
Well, I sleep fast.
Yeah.
Fall asleep fast.
Finish fast?
Not as fast as some people. I'm not the fastest one around. But I don't take my time either.
So we were talking. We played a nifty little game from my childhood called Dragon Ball Z, The Legacy of Goku. You probably have heard of the series if you haven't played the game.
Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball, I guess, would be the series title.
Yep. So Dragon Ball, there's Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Z Super, and then Dragon Ball GT. As far as the anime series is considered.
And I've watched, for sure, random ones through probably all of them, but the Frieza and the Cell series.
Okay. So you've caught Dragon Ball Z.
Yes.
Yeah. Dragon Ball wasn't so much in my childhood as it Dragon Ball Z was, because Dragon Ball is real old.
Oh, yeah. What, 80s?
I think late 80s, yeah. And Dragon Ball Z was early 90s, late 90s. And then it kind of stuck around. That's an anime that's really stood around.
And I would argue that it's Toonami that did that for it.
Well, yeah.
Cartoon Network.
For America, Toonami. At least.
Yeah, for America, not the world. I mean, the world's always ahead of us when it comes to anime, unless it's an American anime.
Well, it's because they always have to import it. Because, let's be real, no one has, barely anyone in the United States is bilingual.
That's true. I speak English and bad English.
Pretty much everyone across the world is bilingual except for the United States.
But we want you to learn our language.
Which is ironically probably the bilingual language that they learn.
Well, it's like common in D&D.
Right.
I mean, that's how I kind of perceive it. No, it's not the best language around, but it's the one everyone kind of learns to talk to other people.
For example, you look at Japan. You know, there are literally, I think there's mandatory classes where they're required to take English.
Them poor bastards.
And then you look at the United States and you're lucky as fuck to find any school to teach Japanese.
We had French, and that was the only option.
So I was lucky, and I was in this instance where I was going to a startup school. A school was starting to open, charter school. And they gave everyone that was enrolling a exam survey. And the survey was essentially to gauge what interests the kids. And
henpai. That's what you said.
Henpai. And they're like, well, what language would you like to learn? You know, and you know, probably most people are like Spanish, French, and like, why the fuck would you want to learn those languages when they're always the norm?
Yeah.
So it was probably a lot of people who put Japanese, and the school actually went out and looked for a sensei, which is
teacher?
A Japanese teacher.
Okay.
But when he teaches you Japanese, he's your sensei.
Even so, no matter what they teach, because sensei is the same in like the dojo.
Yeah,
your sensei is your
teacher.
Okay,
someone who would teach you anything. Okay. Doesn't necessarily mean the language.
Just teacher.
Yep.
So they don't have English teachers. They don't have math teachers, you have sensei.
Sensei. Yep. Anyone who teaches a subject, if you will.
Okay.
And he's my sensei because that's who I trained or learned Japanese.
Well, maybe you trained. You know, he's laying between two chairs as he's dropping coconuts on you. Say pie!
Hey, teacher, when are we watching hentai?
Because it's easy to learn.
So yeah, we actually, as one of the lucky folk to actually be able to watch hentai, learn Japanese
Isn't
in America.
Like an every other day kind of thing. Yeah?
So, but normally the instance is you don't get to learn that type of language. No. So you have a country dedicated to have their second language generally to be
ours, English, ours American English. English.
And then our country doesn't return the favor.
We're kind of pricks that way. Yeah. Let's be honest.
But I would argue to say, you know, Spanish is probably the other second one that someone should learn. You know, the two languages that would probably help you the most in the
over
world
here, yeah,
is but English and Spanish.
I've always kind of looked at it as, although this doesn't make a lot of sense, the number of people speaking the language.
Right.
So really, like, what does India speak? Indonesian or
yeah.
What's their language?
Yeah.
They have, what, the second highest population in the world?
Yep.
So their language is in India, and it probably spreads out into the Philippines and Malaysia, stuff like that. And then there's Chinese. The most populous country in the world.
Which, you arguably, if you go by numbers, is probably the most popular language.
Right. So you would think that that would be the languages you would pick to be, because that should be it, right? Most people speak those languages.
But at the same time, it also doesn't necessarily go by numbers.
No,
it goes by money.
Yeah.
So if the Chinese have to develop products to get our money, guess what?
They learn English.
They learn English. So being as that, don't get me wrong, we buy a lot of fucking Chinese stuff.
Well, Walmart.
But someone in America with the money wouldn't be buying a product that was only written in Japanese or Chinese.
No.
Right. We would rather take the broken English any day.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes
make fun
it's
of it.
Kind of funny.
Yeah, like, oh, he used the wrong words there, but I get what he's going for.
I saw a Chinese meme, or not like a Chinese meme, but a meme that was probably translated poorly, and it was funny as shit. It was a bubble tea advertisement. You know what bubble tea is.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it was a bubble tea advertisement, and it was this cute little drawn-up bubble tea with a face. So it was like, you know, like a little cute face, exactly like the one you just made. A
little anime face.
And it was funny because it was like, hi, I'm bubble tea. And then it shows like a little comic panel strip, and then it goes down. Like, this is a banner that they hung up in their store. And then below it, it was like, then the bubble tea is drawn with a smiley face and said, suck my balls.
Nice.
I'm sure that's not what they meant.
Right.
But it's definitely what they got.
Yeah, it's what they wrote.
So if I walked into a store and I saw, hi, I'm bubble tea, suck my balls, I would be like, I definitely want some bubble tea.
Is it bad that my first thing whenever someone says suck my balls is I have to throw a Mr. Garrison at the end?
No. That, I think that's anyone who's watched the show.
All right.
I'm shy. but yeah, I learned Japanese in high school. So I actually really like that. And then I've watched pretty much Dragon Ball Z all my life. I even went as far as getting a tattoo on my forearm. Not a small tattoo. It's actually quite large.
Well, it's because you have a, you know, massive forearm.
Right. To put it into perspective, it's probably like
10 inches long.
That's probably about a foot.
Foot to 10 inches, yeah.
So it's foot wide and then probably 4 to 6 inches tall. A comic panel strip of actually Goku. And it's, if anyone's familiar with the series, it's the proportion where he has his hand on Cell and he's about to use the instant transmission to teleport Cell away, who's about to explode and blow up the entire planet. And it's him giving the final look over to his friends and his family saying, you know, goodbye.
Yep.
Because he knows that he's going with.
Yeah.
And he's going to die. But he thought that was the only thing that he could come up with to bring him somewhere safe.
Yep.
And that's the moment that probably was the most actual, like, affecting moment in the anime for me. That was like, wow, that character is my hero.
Yeah, Goku's fucking badass until you hear his Chinese voice or Japanese voice.
Oof.
Like, why would you hire grandma to do the most badass guy, arguably the most badass guy in the universe?
I think it was mostly because initially when they made Dragon Ball, he was a kid. And it's not out of practice to get a female voice actor to voice a kid. Because it's hard to get a man to do a kid's voice.
It is.
You either get a kid to do it or you get a woman to do it. So they opted in to do the woman because they wanted to pay probably some labor laws or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the case. And they, I don't want to offend anyone, but the unfortunate bit is they kept her throughout the development of the character. So she carried on from Dragon Ball into Dragon Ball Z. And it's a woman's voice doing the most badass, arguably the most badass anime character of all time.
Yes.
Like it's not okay to me. So I wasn't able to watch any of the Japanese subtitles at all.
No, I tried. I even tried.
I gave it an honest try.
And but I'm like, no.
It was so off-putting.
No.
I think Sean Schemmel, or something like that, is the guy who does the one in America for the Funimation dub. And he does great.
He's a
work.
Fantastic Goku.
Yeah, you can feel his emotion when he's like going through like you know like the normal grunting and screaming.
He does a lot of grunting.
Yeah,
it's got to suck at his house for practice day.
Oh my god! But anyway, he does a great job on doing that, and it really was like I can't watch anything else. So during the Super Dragon Ball Super, when I was watching that, because that came out recently.
Yeah, I tried. Yes. Yep.
And then I was watching it throughout, and I got to a point where the dub was done. You know, not done, but it was like...
Caught up to where it was. That's what I did, too.
And they were releasing it in waves. So they weren't, like, weekly releasing it. Like, I could watch it, you know, in a week. It was like, no, we're not going to release it until we get, like, 20 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be, like, literally, like, months where I wouldn't get any dub. And everyone was like, just watch the sub. I'm like, no! There is not an argument to convince me to do otherwise.
No.
But they're like, but... It's worth it, but you have to get past his voice. I'm like, I am not willing to get past his voice.
You can't.
You cannot.
And then if you have, you're on crack.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you.
So ironically, my favorite moment is from the Cell Saga, which is not a part of this game that we did.
No.
This game covers, if anyone's familiar with the Dragon Ball Z series, it covers the Saiyan Saga.
Like and, early.
Yep, so that's like the first Dragon Ball Z saga. And then it covers the Frieza Saga. So those are the two sagas, and that actually ends at the Frieza fight.
Okay.
The game ends.
Yep. I didn't get that far.
Which I got through mostly Namek. I started fighting the Ginyu Force is where I ended. But the game is an action role-playing game. So it's, you know, you move your character around, you level up, you fight, you get your Dragon Ball Z moves. You get like a few different moves. You get... Key
the
blast,
little fireball.
The key blast, which you can charge, and then it goes further if you charge it. And then you get solar flare, which blinds your enemies and pauses them for a second, which is kind of important in this game.
I use that.
And then you get Kamehameha, which is the classic and you know traditional move that Goku uses.
But it was orange.
That's also what bothered me. So we can talk about that in a little bit. But those are the moves you got. And you use those to get through the game. And you basically roam around the maps and you follow the story arcs. The Saiyan arc where, you know, Gohan gets kidnapped by his brother Raditz. And he has to go save his son. So Goku, which is the protagonist of this game, he goes to, save his son, Gohan, which was captured by Raditz because Raditz wants his brother, so Goku.
Yep.
To do evil. He wants him to destroy the planet like he was sent there to do originally. And I don't know if you're familiar.
Yeah, I don't know this storyline.
Okay, so then Goku was supposed to originally destroy Earth.
Yeah, turn into the monkey and
destroy
Earth.
But he fell on his head. That was in Dragon Ball. So he fell on his head, and he basically forgot he had to destroy the Earth. And then he was raised by this really kind guy, also named Gohan, which was...
You know, where he got the name.
Where he got raised. Yeah, where his kid got the name. And then he trained under Master Roshi. He's a pervert. So the game literally starts off, literally.
It lays it on thick.
You start off the game on Kami Island, which is where Master Roshi lives. And it's a lonely island. You can tell because you have to literally walk around and collect his dirty magazines.
Yep. He's all by himself. But it was okay.
So yeah, you... collect porn magazines for this perverted old man who is also a black belt who taught Goku early fighting.
Everything at this point.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, that's how the game starts. And then you go from there and save your kid. And then it progresses into a Vegeta and Nappa fight, which you go through some quests and adventures and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny, like, your kid is literally kidnapped, and you're literally walking around a town trying to fucking bring a cat back to this old lady.
Or stopping bank robbers.
Or stopping bank robbers. Yeah, like, just, you arrested your kid at that point. But mm-hmm. at, but you guess you stop the bank robbers while there's an impending doom upon the
whole
world.
Place, yeah.
So that's always kind of
like,
funny.
Yeah, you know, I got cops standing all over the place, but let me get the bank robbers. Yeah,
let me do them.
I got nothing better to do. The world's not ending, you know.
Or anything. Not like that.
Nothing important.
And then you literally die in the game. You literally die.
Is that at the end?
Nope, you die by Piccolo.
I didn't get that far.
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
You beat Raditz, right?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, he kills you. You die.
What happened? I don't remember that part.
Yeah, so part of the storyline is when you defeat Raditz and save your son. In order to defeat Raditz, Goku's only way to do so, because he likes
oh,
to
no.
do...
Oh, no, I did the Snake Road and everything. Yeah, I remember
this a
that.
Lot. Yeah. And then Piccolo uses a special beam cannon, kills both of you.
Just do it, I said before... Whatever. You're going to die. It's like, just do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he dies, retarded. And then he goes to Snake Way, and then you have to deal with
this. I fell off the road once.
Oh, my God.
Literally a fucking spirit.
Literally a fucking hilarious, because, like, you walk on the road, and then, like, you touch the side of the road, and it's like, ugh! And you get hurt, and you're like, God damn it. Thankfully, they laid the healing items on thick, because you could walk into a building, walk back out, and all the herbs would be back. I don't know if you noticed that.
I didn't have to use them.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. You used the cheats.
I used the cheats.
Oh, no.
I did. I'm sorry. I walked around, and I fought a wolf, and I died. I'm like, oh, this is fun. So then I finally beat the wolf, and I'm like, I'm Goku, and I'm kiting animals. This is dumb. So then I run into three wolves, and they eat my face. I'm like, oh, I'll go a different way. Run into a dinosaur. It fucking destroys my ass. Like, I can't get anywhere in this fucking game. So... And like as soon as I told some of my buddies what game we were doing, he told me the code, and I'm like, "What the fuck is this for?" But then I'm like, "Tried it." Like he told me to. I'm like, yeah. "I have infinite health."
Oh no!
Oh, this is easy now. Okay, I get it. And then I'm like, "This is slow. Like I am walking so slow." I found how to do Code Breaker, and I also turned on Infinite Fly.
Oh my God! So you
and
didn't
I
even
still
have any
fell
challenge.
Off the fucking road.
Oh my God.
And the whole game was challenging. What are you talking about?
So that's arguably one of my favorite points of the game is the challenging.
It was difficult as hell.
It was. So actually, it was funny. When I was playing the game, my wife noticed, and she took notice because she's also an anime fan as well. She took notice, and she's like, oh, what game are you playing? I'm like, The Legacy of Goku. And she's like, oh, is that the one where the wolves kill you? Like that was her only memory from the entire game. I'm like, actually, yeah, Kevin just complained about the wolves.
There's one by one, whatever, it's fine. But then I run out of herbs right away. So I get like I have one herb. I get another wolf, I kill him, I've got quarter health. Like, oh, eat the herb, get a quarter health back. I'm like, what am I gonna fucking do with this? I got half health.
Yeah.
Three more wolves to kill.
So there's a secret you can do against the wolves. And you probably didn't know this because you had infinite health and you didn't care to learn at that point. Basically, you can approach the wolf at a diagonal. So if the wolf is running at you, the game is in like, you can't move diagonal.
Yeah.
The game moves up or down or left or right. And the AI is also programmed that way. So what you can do is if you're one tile above the wolf and the wolf is running at you and it still hasn't gone up to get to you yet,
yeah.
It'll approach you and then you walk into the space where it's supposed to go up. It won't go up. So it'll just sit there in front of you. And do nothing. And then you can attack it.
So you cheated anyway.
Well, no, I'd argue that that's strategy at that point.
You're exploiting a movement error in the game. It's not strategy. That's exploitation, which is
maybe
another
it was working as
cheating.
Intended. You never know.
You don't.
Because the wolves do run faster than you, so you can't legitimately kite
them. You can't. You have to hope they go up or down and while you're going away so that you can
yep.
get that
so
one
then
square.
You'd have to use your flight either to use it all, which consumes very quickly.
Oh, yeah. It goes fast.
Yep. And then, or you get lucky. And if you keep the front approach, because this is also how you can deal with them, if you approach them directly and they approach you directly, as long as they're not behind you or on top of you, their damage is lessened. In fact, it doesn't do like quarter of your health. It does like a little dinky spot. And then you can one punch them.
I couldn't one punch them until I was up like to level 6 or 7.
So, right. That's another thing is if you do farm out and you do grind enemies.
But like you have to farm out the wolves that kick your ass.
No, not necessarily. In the starter zone, if you remember correctly, there were crabs and snakes. You can get.
I can't kill the snakes.
Yeah, you can. Key blast. You key blast the snakes, they die in one hit.
Oh, I never tried the key blast. I tried punching them, and they didn't bite me, so I'm like, meh, I can't kill the snakes.
You cannot punch them. You're probably underleveled the entire time then.
That's probably what happened, because I get to the wolves, and like they wouldn't. Like anything I did didn't matter. They just they're faster. They caught up to me. They stood on my square and ate my ass, and I couldn't touch them when they're on my square.
No, you'd have
like,
to back up.
Punch, punch, punch. They're like nothing. Okay, I'm half health. Back up a square. They follow me right away.
Yeah.
And then like I get a punch in, but they eat the other quarter of my health that are on my square. They bite me again, and I'm dead. Like, well, this
you're
is
like,
fantastic.
Cheat
this
time.
Is fucking Goku, guys. Yeah. You're a little tiny wolf.
When I was younger, I owned the game. This game came out in May. So late May, and I actually used my birthday money to buy the game.
Nice.
So I bought this game knowing that I was going on a summer camping trip with my best friend. And his mom invited me to the camping trip, and I asked my mom if I could go, and she said yes. And it was like in June or July. And so the game came out in May, and like I said, I bought it with my birthday money sometime in late May. And we mostly played the game because me and both my best friend were addicted to anything Dragon Ball Z. And so we bought the game and we went camping. It was me, my best friend, and his other friend that he had met at another school because my best friend moved to another school, but we kept in touch, which was rare in 2002.
Yeah, super rare.
Because normally, you know, you're not walking around with a smartphone that didn't really exist.
No.
You would be lucky to have a cell phone in 2002. Because it was very expensive, and it was more of a rare thing.
Yep. The rich kids had.
Right. So you would hop on your landline phone, give a telephone call over to your friend, and catch up. And that would you'd spend maybe, you know, 25 minutes talking to each other, maybe once every couple weeks. And that's what we did. And we kept in touch. And I honestly thought that being as that he was going to a different school district when he left in sixth grade, I thought we were done. I thought we're not going to be friends anymore because I think he left actually fifth grade is when he left. We were in fourth and then he left in fifth grade. So he wasn't a part of my fifth grade a year. He left and I thought we were done, but we kept in touch. I would go over to his house almost every month or so. He lived he moved to Buell. So he moved pretty much about 30 minutes away from me. Anyway.
Which isn't too bad for around here.
No. That ain't too bad, but it was still hard when you're, you know,
different schools,
10 years old, different schools, getting no cell phones, no internet to communicate with each other. You did. You have instant messenger, but let's be real. That's so rare.
Yeah.
And we kept in touch anyway, and we went camping. So I got to see him again, and we both owned the game, and his buddy owned the game. So all three of us are sitting in this tent. We had our own tent, and they had their parents had their own camper for obvious reasons, which we know what they were doing in there.
Yeah, they were sleeping.
Yeah, just sleeping.
Just sleeping.
Just sleeping.
Just having a little nap.
Yeah. And
dealing with all you little kids.
I remember this camping trip so fucking well. Because I remember
all the screaming?
No. There was a few things that happened on this camping trip. This one was probably the most memorable camping trip I ever had. This one particularly is, my buddy had a Game Boy SP, which had the backlight, and me and my other buddy had, his other buddy had a Game Boy Advance, which doesn't have the backlight. So this motherfucker is literally basically laughing at us while we're fucking scrounging for whatever lantern light we can get. And we're playing the Legacy of Goku game inside the camping trip. And that was super fun. We played a ton of it. I mean, the game isn't super long. But we definitely played a ton. We'd play switch out and play Pokemon every once in a while and stuff like that and do link up battles. But the few stories that I would like to share about this camping trip is actually one of my favorites. So my buddy and his buddy, which we'll call him Nick. And my buddy, we'll call him Jace. Okay. So my buddy
like
Jace, which is my best friend.
Okay.
Yep.
From Magic? One of the...
Yeah, sure. Jace Balloran. So my best friend Jace and his buddy Nick. So we go, it's daytime, right? And we go to, it's a really hot day. So we head over to the convenience store and we want to buy ice cream. But Nick doesn't have any money. And, you know, we feel bad. So I didn't have any spare money for him. I felt that he was my friend, Jace's friend.
He should pay for it.
He should pay for it if anyone's going to pay.
Yep.
And my friend Jace was like, yeah, I'll do that for you, but you're going to have to earn it. And Nick was like, he's like, he agreed because it was fucking hot.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. And so he bought us ice cream. He bought himself, him and his buddy ice cream, and we bought ice cream. And then we went to the pier, which was in the a little bit walk through the woods, and then we sat on a picnic table. And we're sitting at the picnic table enjoying our ice cream. And my buddy looks down, and there's bird shit, wet bird shit mixed with piss. Like, you know how it gets white with a little bit of yellow in
it? Yeah.
Sitting on the fucking picnic table. And my buddy Jace is like, hey, I know what I want you to do.
Oh, no.
And Nick is like, what? He's like, I want you to lick that.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
So my buddy, I was like flabbergasted. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that's what you want him to do? I'm like, that's nasty.
That's super nasty.
And Nick is like, all right. He was a bit of a crazy kid. And he's like, all right. And he fucking licks it. Like, he doesn't like dip his tongue in it. Like, he does like the whole, like, I'm eating an ice cream.
How did he not get sick?
And I almost barfed. I did.
Yeah, I would have probably barfed.
Ugh. Anyway, he immediately just spit out everything. Well, I would hope so.
Right. You don't want to swallow it.
He's like, I feel cheated. He's like, Jason's like, why? He's like, I had to lick bird shit, and now my ice cream tastes like bird shit. And I don't even get to enjoy the ice cream that I had to do that for. So that was one of the stories of this time.
That's pretty fucking gross.
I'll never forget that ever in my entire life.
No.
Why would he have agreed?
Well, he had to do it for the ice cream. What, is he going to take the ice cream away?
But it's funny because it ruined the ice cream for him.
I would have been like, can I finish my ice cream first?
That's what I would have done. I would have had to have said that if I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could argue that maybe he helped get the flavor out of his mouth. But at the same time, it ruined the whole.
Yeah, the whole thing tastes like poop. So by the time you're done, you might have got that last little nice taste of ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, but, no, not worth it.
No.
Not worth it at all.
That kid's weird. Why would that be what he wants him to do?
So, yeah, that's a story.
That's some nasty shit. Fresh seal poop.
Yeah, on our way back, we're walking back to the campsite, and there was this, probably this 500-pound chick with the most massive boobies I've ever seen. Nasty as fuck.
It's pretty gross.
But that was probably arguably the biggest boobies I've ever seen. I'm like 10 years old, and I'm just like, oh my God.
I could wrap those around me.
No, more like I would suffocate and drown.
Wrap them around you and die like this python.
Those gigantic watermelons you see at the supermarket, mm-hmm, don't even do those justice.
Oh, dang. That's... Some people.
She was literally so big she had to ride around on the back of a four-wheeler trailer.
Oh, that's saying something.
I mean, good for you for getting out of the house, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to exercise, people.
Yes.
Get that exercise in. We know there's... But anyways, this is some nice water that I'm drinking here.
It's not bird piss.
It's not bird piss or poop mixed together. It's wet.
Another sad story about the camping trip is...
You walked in on his parents.
No, but we definitely laughed outside as the whole thing was shaking. That's not really worth a story, but that's definitely happened. But Jace and Nick left the campsite, and I was sitting next to the fire. And it's probably midday, but we were roasting hot dogs and stuff.
Yeah.
Doing lunch.
Camp stuff.
Yep. And I don't remember what Jason Nick went to go do.
Dookie.
I have no idea. But I decided not to follow or tag along. And I was sitting there, and Jace's best friend, his dog Mo, was there, and he died in front of me.
Ooh. Jump in the fire?
No. No, he just laid down. He came over. I gave him a pet, and then he walked about 15 feet away, did a circle, you know, laid down and then died.
That's weird. Did he poop when he died?
No.
No.
He just passed. Right there.
That's pretty weird. How old was he?
17-ish.
Oh, so he's ready to go anyway.
16. But it was really cool that he came over and let me pet him.
Yeah, like, I need a pet before I go, buddy. I appreciate you scratching my ear.
I felt so bad for Jace.
Yeah, that would suck.
It was his best friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a weird camping trip after that.
It would be a little awkward. Like, it's a sad you're not going to recover from right away.
No.
So it puts a little shadow over the whole trip.
Yeah, little shadow. And that you could definitely feel it. And it was so weird to me that it happened in front of me.
Yeah, you're the only one there. And, yeah. Well, I mean, the parents are doing whatever, but...
Probably...
Yeah, he was underneath the camper at night, getting his head beat. Boom, boom, boom.
Well, they were obviously doing jumping jacks.
Yeah.
They were doing their exercise, making sure they're not, you know, having to be driven around in a four-wheeler.
Yes, trailer.
So, trailer. So they were definitely probably just doing jumping jacks.
Yeah. You know, that back then it was probably Jane Fonda's aerobics.
Yeah.
Doing a little grapevine. Yeah.
So this time around you got to the Vegeta.
Yeah.
Did you beat the Vegeta fight?
Well, I...
Of course he did.
Infinite flight and health. So I kind of walked through just about everything.
So...
But I still had to go do... So here's the thing. So even though I had... Infinite health and life and flying, because that's the same thing. Infinite health and life. I still had to go do all the bullshit. So little boy, I'm trying to move forward in the town area, the first bank robbery area.
Yep.
You can't go any farther. Why? Well, you just can't go past this one guard. There's still stuff to do. Like, well, okay. Well, what the fuck is there to do? So then I wander around some more, and then I go back to the guard, and then he's like, "There's a boy missing in the north." Like, I don't remember a woods even being here. What the fuck are you talking about? So I have to go back. So I still had to go back and forth and do all that kind of stuff. It was just the fights that were easier. That's all.
Your challenge isn't a challenge. It's just monotony.
Yeah, it's getting around. So that's why I had to do the flying too. Because then I could get around faster.
So this game is actually the first of the series. There's actually three games that they made of this. So... The Legacy of Goku covers, like I said, Saiyan and the Frieza saga. And then the Legacy of Goku 2 covers the Android saga and the Cell saga.
See, and I watched Frieza and Cell, and I saw some of Android, but not all of it.
Yep, Android is before Cell saga. And then there's the third game, which is called Boo's Fury, which covers the Majin Buu.
That's the big pink guy.
Yeah.
I saw some of him too, but not all of it.
Yep. So the game's reception-wise, this game, The Legacy of Goku, was mixed. But The Legacy of Goku 2 was very positive.
Is that going to be one eventually, maybe one day?
I doubt we're going to do it because the story is based on the one that I enjoyed the most was probably this one.
Okay.
So
no nostalgia really.
No nostalgia for the Legacy of Goku 2. It was a good game, but it wasn't where my nostalgia came in. I probably liked the Legacy of Goku 2 a bit more. It was a little more fleshed out, but this game was more nostalgic. It had those stories tied to it.
Yeah, had them feelings that tug at your heart a little.
Right. The overall like gameplay. Like I said, is an action RPG, and I think that I liked the type of, you know, moves that you had to do. Like, it wasn't just a walk up to something and punch it to death thing. Like, you couldn't do that. You had to actually kite it. I know you could do that.
I could do that.
I know you could do that. And I forgot. That was the most jarring thing when I started playing, is when I first fired it up, I got hit with a lot of nostalgia. That menu even was nostalgic to me. It was a simple, stupid menu, but the image that was there.
Yes, yep.
The music, not so much. I usually played my Game Boy with the music off just save because battery. It was usually at the night and it would save battery. And I'd hate you had to replace those fucking batteries so goddamn often when you play it for so long. So I'd try to keep turning down the volume and keep the battery higher. I found that the most nostalgic thing was how hard the game was. Like you said. So I'm not going to lie. You started playing the game before I did. So, and I asked you if you started playing it. You're like, yeah, the wolves. And you start fucking complaining about the wolves. And I was like, they're not that bad. And I didn't play it yet.
Yeah.
Then I went home and I just smashed through 75% of the game. And the first thing that happened to me is I died to a wolf. I was like, oh my God, I can see why Kevin was upset with this wolf.
Yeah.
And then I remembered it slowly started being coming back to me. I was like, that's the secret. You got to approach him on the diagonal and you learn how to do it. And then that's what started, you know, hitting me the most.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, this is how you do it. Yep. This is how you do it. And then you had to go through the boss fights. The boss fights, you couldn't get into a fist fight with them without infinite
health. You lose. Yeah.
You lose. And so what you do is you would walk away and you're always a little bit faster than your opponent, and then you'd turn and try to throw a ki blast at him, and you'd repeat the process. And you could do little tricks like go down a couple squares and then walk to your right, and they'll follow you because they haven't come down yet, so yep. They'd follow you along the path in a vertical or parallel to you.
Yeah.
And then you stop and you start charging upwards your ki attack, and then they'll get into the line of attack, and then you shoot it, and then you start walking again. So then immediately they're still trying to walk parallel with you because they can't come down yet.
Yeah.
And then you can just shoot off the blast going up and then time it so it hits them, and then you keep walking, and it'll keep walking parallel to you. So you're literally staying out of their attack range throughout the whole time.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of learning your enemies and knowing how their courses go. That dinosaur you spoke of getting destroyed by that. That thing, one hit will destroy half of your health, if not more of it.
Yeah, tough.
Yeah.
Until you have infinite health.
Right. So the most important thing, ironically, is to make sure that you drop the stones off at the old man.
Yep, I did that.
If you don't drop the stones off, you don't get to be faster than your opponent.
Oh, yeah. I made sure to do that. I'm like, well, the first thing I do, like, I explore all over. And yeah. I don't know if any of you out there who read Dragonlance, Kender always go left first. Like, left turn. It's always a left turn.
Yep.
And that using that philosophy got me to the first stone. I'm like, what the fuck's this for? And then I wander around and I find another one here, another one there. And then a guy needs, I see little circles in the water. Like, he needs a way out of there. But I just flew over the first time and talked to him. And then he's like, whatever he said, I don't even remember. But then I put two and two together later. I'm like, oh, let's go back and put them stones there.
I didn't know that was a philosophy because I didn't know it was a coined philosophy. I actually usually do left because I think in the mind of a developer, most people are right-handed. They'll go right by nature. So I usually go left.
Yeah.
So in a developer sense, I think, you know, okay, so these people developing the games, they're going to want to put it to the left. That's weird. I didn't know that was a coined
term. It's a Kender thing. Kender are little people. They're, I don't know, maybe like a little taller, like gnome or dwarf height.
Right.
Real skinny, and they can steal your underwear without you knowing.
That's awesome.
And they don't know that they're stealing. They're like, oh, you must have dropped
little
this.
Underpants gnomes.
Yeah. They take everything that isn't nailed down, and they don't know they're doing it. Like, if you watch one, he's just, bloop, 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 bloop. He's talking to you. He's gesturing a conversation. As he's gesturing, things are going in his pouch. At the end of the day, their favorite thing to do is to go through with the pouch. They'll lost something that they had found before and really liked, but they've got all new shit in their pouches every day, and they don't know where it came from.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so normally when you're traveling with them, you've got to be like, okay, I'm missing my dagger. You know, Tasselhoff, drop your shit. What do you got? Well, you got my dagger and my coin pouch. What the fuck? I didn't even know I was missing that. Yeah, so they're just weird creatures, super cool, super talented at stealing and not knowing they're stealing, and they always go left.
So you mentioned Mr. Garrison earlier.
Yeah.
I have to say my favorite skits or my favorite characters are the Underpants Gnomes in South Park.
I don't know that I remember that one.
So Underpants Gnomes make their approach a couple of times. Literally all they are is this little lawn gnomes. They look like little lawn gnomes. And they just waddle into someone's bedroom and they're singing their little song. We are the Underpants Gnomes. And they like... And then they all burst into your room, and then you could be watching them do this, and like the gnomes come out of nowhere. So imagine you're laying down in bed, you know, casually watching, flipping through TV,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like a line of like 10 gnomes come in singing, "We are the Underpants Gnomes," and they just go up to your where you store all your underwear, and they're passing your underwear back to the previous one in the line until all of their hands are full, and then they sing themselves out.
Them little bastards.
So they steal literally all your underwear. And then I remember the episode follows them on this adventure. Like the kids decide to follow the Underpants gnomes.
See where they go.
See where they go. And they go back to the gnome lair. And then they're like, they start talking to them. They're like, oh, how do you know where we are? And then they're like, why are you stealing all these underpants? And they're like, step one, steal underwear. Step two, question mark. Step three, profit. And that's their business model.
Nice.
And I love them. Like, I think it's a fucking hilarious South Park character, and I love them so much.
I'm going to have to watch. I probably have seen it, but I don't remember it, so I have to watch
it. It is worth a rewatch, 100%. Yeah. And then going back to speaking of, like, those kind of, like, the left turn, left, you know, always go left, the Kinder thing. There's a cool theory that I usually like to follow as well, not necessarily pertaining to video games, but like test taking. So did you ever learn like test taking abilities or skills in school?
Probably not.
Okay. So I don't know if you know this, but this one's obvious. This one's the most obvious. Usually all of the above answers are your right. Whenever you see a multiple choice answer and it has all of the above, I'd say 80% of the time that's the correct answer. So if you have no idea what the answer is, chances are all of the above. And then this is the one most people don't know. The longest multiple choice answer is correct 70% of the time.
Didn't know that either.
Yeah. So if you look at the list of multiple choices and one has the longest sentence, that's probably the correct one. I will be honest with you. I once bullshitted my way through entire tests in class, and I'd get B's.
That's not bad.
No, right. If you expect an answer to be right 70% of the time, you should expect your grade to be 70%.
Yeah.
If the theory works, and it usually did. So if I had to bullshit my way through a test, I could do it. So that's always something. That's a little cool tidbit there.
Tidbits are good. Fancy facts. What's a little music there? Da-ling,
da-ling. Fancy facts.
Mm-hmm. Now pass your test, kids, without studying.
Yeah, no, don't. This isn't to say, hey, now you get to stop studying for the rest of your life and follow Dan's theory of 70% chance.
Because not all your tests are multiple choice anyway.
Correct. Open-ended answers don't exactly work that way. So if it's like, what is this thing? And then it just says you have to write a paragraph. Unfortunately, there's no cheat for that.
Or you can be a clever student, write down A in a shitty answer, B in a shitty answer, C, the right answer in the form of a paragraph, and then D, a shitty answer, and then circle C.
See, my smart ass me would probably circle letter A.
Be like, nah, I got my own answer wrong.
And then I would also try to like bullshit my way to answer those questions. The ones that have like open-ended answers that you have to write like paragraphs, I would usually just rephrase whatever the question was in different words just to try to get it to go through.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the time the teacher saw through my bullshit, but it was worth the attempt.
You got to try. Got to do something.
Yep. That was probably the most nostalgic part overall, though, is the how hard the difficulty hits.
It's a hard game.
Yeah.
And then you put on, you know, I'm playing on my phone because I'm not going to buy all the little handheld consoles.
Right.
I'm going to emulate them. I'll buy the big consoles. Normally I have them already anyway. But yeah, so I emulated it and it was very, very hard.
Oh yeah. I can imagine it would be harder on an emulated copy.
I don't know. I haven't played the real one, but it was very difficult. Difficult enough. I don't normally resort to cheats, but I got so frustrated with this one. Like, what was that again, Jack?
I mean, let's be real. Nostalgia can include cheats.
Yeah, absolutely. Like
you played Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Cheats. I don't think I could bring a nostalgic aspect of that entire...
The money cheat.
The money cheat.
All ammo cheat.
L1, R1, R2, L2. Like, it was like... L1, R2, R1, L2, up, down, left, right, up, down, down, down was the weapons 3 cheat. And then you could, there's little variations of that.
To get other stuff.
I used to be able to do like the unwanted stars cheat in like a second. Even though it was like a 15 button combination, it was like, and then you just got it all.
Done. Yep. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so that's a nostalgic part about that, but we'll never do an episode on Vice City.
No, we both have played it. One of my first cheats was a code for Who Framed Roger Rabbit for the Nintendo, and that's when you had to type in like codes. Like this is probably like a 28-digit code that you got. I don't even know where we got
in like
it. Probably
in like a text input area.
Yeah, like you could do like some of those games had spots to put in codes because even like some console of your save games gave you codes. So it was probably somebody's saved game, because it had like most all of the weapons and three parts of the will. You had to go find the fourth part of the will still to get into Toontown and win the game or fight the judge. But I remember with a couple of tries, I could probably get that code down because it was like a whole pile of H's and a couple other letters and numbers. And then Pot of Gold, Warcraft 1.
I remember Power Overwhelming. There is no cow level. Those are the big ones for me. Those were StarCraft cheats.
Okay.
And you'd type that in to your just your chat, and it would pop up and it would instantly apply all of those. Power Overwhelming made you invincible, and There is no cow level, I believe, gave you infinite supply.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. So that was always cool. Another game that was super nostalgic to me, StarCraft. And you also played that?
I played that, yeah. Haven't played the second one, but I played the first one.
The second one is not nostalgic to me. Just the first one, heavily nostalgic. What else? That's pretty much what sums up my nostalgia for that, for the Legacy of Goku game, though.
Sex, camping, dead dog.
Bird shit. Forgot bird shit.
I forgot bird shit.
Yeah.
So sex, bird shit, sex, dead dog. Camping.
Yeah. Yeah, about that.
Yeah. Okay. I figured there had to be a couple sexes in there because what else are the parents going to do? Especially when you all got
jumping
Game
jacks.
Boys. Oh, yeah. Calisthenics. Jumping jacks. Jane Fonda.
Yeah, Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda's jumping jacks.
Yep. As seen by you.
I think at one point, I think they caught on that we knew what they were doing in there.
Wow, like, how could you not know?
Seriously, like it's not even like they waited for us to go to bed.
Right. It's like, it's lunchtime, guys. Hot dogs just kind of slowly fall out of the window through the shaking of the camper.
That one's not a hot dog.
Oh, no. Why has it got marshmallow filling?
Why is this hot dog purple?
I don't know. It's throbbing.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. You put it in your mouth, Jeez. I'm not eating that one. That's your parents. Oh, that's horrible.
That's nasty.
That is nasty.
You should almost feel bad for
saying that. I don't feel bad. It's not my parents.
So, overall, what did you think of the game?
I liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
I expected you, after you complained about the wolves, to hate it.
Once I got the cheats in, it was fine.
I actually enjoyed how hard it was, like I said. So if you were to put a rating on it, what would you give it?
I mean, two.
Two out of five?
Two out of five. Two tankards.
Oh, man.
Yeah, not real great, love. I mean, I did have to cheat.
Right.
And it might have been better on the actual handheld game than it would have on the emulator.
I think so.
Because I couldn't move diagonal anyway.
Right.
So, and normally when I push left, he runs up.
That could get a bit difficult.
Yeah. It's stupid. So two tankards.
That's fair.
Yeah. And your rating for nostalgia.
Nostalgia.
Your nostalgia rating.
I'd probably say 4.5, actually.
That's pretty
good. That's pretty high on nostalgia.
It is pretty high.
Yeah. So coming back to it, I did get a decent bit of nostalgia. From the overall game. Like I said, it really hit and really hit hard on that first wolf encounter.
That's not bad.
Yeah. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, I could see that. If you played as a kid, getting over the hardness, learning the strategies.
Yep.
And or exploits.
I definitely will be honest. I definitely do use the infinite flying cheat when I was younger.
That's nice. It, like, you don't get enough flying.
It was a bit of the resource that I hated to manage because it was literally like you got to fly for like a quarter of a second.
And
then
it was gone. Yeah.
And it's there would be times where you try to fly over something and you fuck up and then it teleports you back to where you started.
With no flying.
With
circles.
No flying. I actually got stuck at one point. It was very possible to get very possible to get stuck. But as far as the overall game rating that I would give it today. Three.
Not bad.
So
right in the middle-ish.
Yeah, so three tankards out of five, just because there was a lot to be desired. But the game was simple. But the game was... It stayed true to the story, so I have to give it mostly true to the story, I have to say.
Just a shorter version of them all.
Version, mostly true. Overall, it followed pretty closely. Not exact, but pretty close.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Like, even I kind of knew what was going on.
Right. And this actually was like one of the first games on the Game Boy, or one of the first games to actually include live video.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's actually pretty cool.
That is cool for that day and age.
Well, I remember this kind of spawned... I don't know if you ever remember on the Game Boys, but they made, like, cartoon episodes on cartridges so you could watch cartoons.
I had no clue.
They made, like, SpongeBob, Fairly Odd Parents. You bought Game Boy cartridges, like, games.
Nice.
You'd put them in...
And watch
the episode. And watch the episode. Like, you'd buy, like, ones that had, like, three episodes on it.
That ain't too bad.
It's weird because the digital distribution wasn't around. You can't just, like, hop on a website to download and watch it. So buying the cartridge to watch the episode was kind of cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would have watched some Fairly Odd Parents on there.
It was definitely... I didn't own very many. I think I owned, like, two. And like I said, I think Fairly Odd Parents and SpongeBob was the only ones that I had overall.
Yeah.
But other than that, that pretty much tops off the episode for me.
Except we didn't do cameras.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
Gotta rate the camera.
All right. Camera.
Now that the music's over.
Sufficient enough. Is the music over, though? Maybe I might edit it in to be right where it's at right now.
It probably is not over, and my ears are just full.
Yeah.
Cheese.
Yeah, we'll go in.
Jesus, good ears.
Camera served its purpose. So according to my scale, I have to give it a 10 since it was sufficient. No, I'm going to give it a 9 because there was a part where I was like, I can't fucking see down there, so I don't know if I want to fly down there.
Gotcha.
So 9.
I'm giving it the same that I'll give these games that are similar to this one where they don't move off of your guy and it's an upward view. It's going to be a 2.
Yeah, so you've been pretty consistent with that.
Yeah.
I think that, like I said, it served its purpose. It wasn't anything revolutionary, per
no.
se.
No. Like, to get a 10 out of me for a camera, man, it's going to have to damn near jerk me off.
I'm just imagining some camera guys and told them, I got you, baby.
Yeah. Like, well, but the camera shook. Ah, mine is a point.
You
I worked
9.
So hard.
You get a 9.
You got a 9. Had you not made the camera wiggle. You got to learn how to do two things at the same time without jerking it around.
Oh. Hey, thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen.
We do appreciate it.
We
say it every time.
Every single time, we really do mean it. I don't know why you listen to us. We're silly and stupid.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, maybe that's why you listen to us. Other than that, feel free to like, comment, subscribe, whatever the fuck you can do to support. Maybe rate the podcast.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Give it a 1, give it a 5.
Break it in tankards and then post it on something.
Send us an email. Info at thedigitaltavern.com.
It's a good website.
It is a good website.
You can go right into there and digitaltavern.com.
Yeah.
Thedigitaltavern.com.
It has just about everything but porn.
Yeah. And then leave a rating right there. We can read it and respond and reply. Maybe hit it with our penises on our screens. You know, whatever.
That's what the internet's for.
It's all good. See you later.